and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 494. I'm Adam, and still got it. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Yay.
Oh my god, I'm a chav.
Yeah, okay, but what about the quote? And here is, yes, she's back, it's Kirsty Bissett.
Oh my, curves. It's like a bouncy castle. Sorry, that's also my life at the moment. It's like living in a bouncy castle. And I love it. Sorry.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Oh, sweet lord, I'm a walking doodle.
And Mary Lang.
By the goddess Centauri, the flesh is free.
Cool.
May I add one more, please?
No. Right, let's see who's coming.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
Is that it? I'm sorry. That was the first one, wasn't it?
That's Roberts.
I'm sorry.
First show sorry of the era. Yes.
You're all stepping on Roberts' toes there.
Indeed. Let's see if I can make sure I've got an audio thing. I should have done this beforehand, but you lot are supposed to actually remind me to test audio feeds, aren't you? Who's going to own up to not reminding me?
Oh, Adam, don't forget to test the audio feeds before we start.
Thank you, Kirsty. That's all I needed, just to see that I had something going
simple,
up and down
folks.
On the doodah, so to say. Right then, so, Looney and Robin says, hi there. She was scripted to say that. Billy Kirkbright says, hello. Hello, Billy. And then he said, this is madness, it's 2 a.m. No, it isn't, it's just gone 7. What about? And Alan T. Butcher says, you have a touch of the Norman Colliers. Eh?
You've been touching the Norman Colliers again?
Does that mean my audio's going in and out? That's what Norman Colliers is. I think it's to do with this 4K video, which I might have to stop and
sounds
change.
Sounds fine to me.
No, on the video feed. If it keeps coming, just tell me if it keeps coming. Because all I've got to do is knock down the quality of the video. Or just stop it and start again. And Terry Marr said, you're juddering. It doesn't look like on my screen, but if I'm going to have to stop the video feed.
Juddering.
Right, I'm going to stop the video. I'll see if I can change this thing here. This is really cool.
No, that just happened at the beginning. You're doing fine now.
No, I'm going to try and change it while the feed's running. And change down the... So it's really cool. I think they can actually see my camcorders. Right. Oh, that's gone funny. Oh, it doesn't like that. Unable to start live video. We'll close that. Okay, so it doesn't like it. We're going to start the live feed again. It's fascinating for the listeners, isn't it? Bear in mind this is going out live. So in this case, I turned over to Kirsty Bissett, who's going to tell us what she's been up to while she hasn't been on the show.
I was here last week. I wasn't Come here on. Last week because you were watching the football. I was here the week before that.
Thank you very much.
Asked me for an update.
I wish I hadn't been watching the football. That was painful.
Yeah, we were all winning.
Who won?
Well, we didn't obviously win, so it was only us or the other lot.
Well, I don't know which lot.
Never you mind. It's just don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it.
Or the other lot. Yes.
All right, let's see if we can get this going. So what's this podcast called again? We know that one. It's episode... Called... Oh, dear, the quality's gone really downhill since I've changed from 4G. It should be all right, though. Right. It's not even on the right camera. Oh, bear with. I changed it. Hang on, good grief. Here's the camera.
Okay, well, what I did on my summer hold.
Yes, thank you. That would be good. Just while I'm trying to get the right feed coming through. Right, episode 494 live again. Oh, that says lice. Live again.
Try telling stories when somebody's spelling behind you.
You're supposed to. what were we reviewing? It's New Earth, isn't it? New. Again. There we go. Well, that's like you spell again. It says again. Again. There we go. Right then, so we can start the video feed again, and hopefully people will just pick it up from there. Right. And if it judders this time, I can't do much about it. Can I, Kirby?
So you bring a doggy bag so you can pick it up later.
Right, then, we can go back to the show now. Yeah, so this week we're going to be... we haven't started. The video feed hasn't started yet. All right, we're on now. This week we're going to be talking about New Earth, hopefully in a concise fairly, listenable way, but we'll see how that goes. It doesn't seem to go well most weeks, to be fair. I haven't got Ben to rescue me this week, so I'm not feeling too confident. But nevertheless, here we go, New Earth. Which begins. Which begins with. I thought my picture. The first shot is like a shot through a grill, which I presume is the TARDIS's floor. Now, when that picture came up on the screen, I thought my something had gone on my video feed because it looks like one of those. You know, when the video goes all cross-haired or cross-hatched because it's not quite coming through properly. That's what it was. I thought it was initially, but then of course so. It played on. It was just almost like we're recapping what happened at the end of the Christmas invasion, where the Rose has decided to carry on with the Doctor, and it's a very, very cameo scene with Mickey and whatever name Rose's mum's name is.
Okay.
and they,
if I might add, dear Adam.
Yes, Kirby.
I beg your pardon. I know you said you said you weren't going to say derogatory things about me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a much cuter pedant.
Medication.
Was they had to pick this shot up in Cardiff. It wasn't shot on the Powell estate. Because it's supposed to be like following the Christmas episode, but you also notice it's all green trees.
I didn't notice that, to be fair.
No, it's a quick shot, and they didn't have time. They overran on the Christmas one, and so they had to push it off, and they managed to get the shot in Cardiff.
Thank you. Anyway, so off they go and land on this alien world, which is not that west alien-ish because it's supposed to be Earth, New Earth. Which is quite well rendered, to be fair, with the flying spaceships
well,
and the...
Master.
I said quite well rendered.
No, I'm not talking about how the computer graphics look. Did you notice the picture I put together for asking for feedback?
No.
It looks very much like what's the name of that movie? I call the thing The Day with Wilbur Robinson because that was what it was when I got that book way before the movie.
Anybody got any clue where we're going with this?
Meet the Robinsons.
Meet the Robinsons. Well, it was well worth waiting for, wasn't it?
Meet the Robinsons. The cityscape looks very much like the cityscape in a very good but not a Disney movie that not a lot of people have seen.
No, it's a fantastic movie.
I love it
I've
too.
I've got a new MacBook Air. It's nice, isn't it? It's all gold. Look, it's pretty. Pretty. Pretty MacBook Air.
It's pretty.
And the good thing about that is it's mine. It's mine. The other one was mine and probably still is mine technically, but that's upstairs and I'll probably never see it again. But it's mine. Anyway.
Sorry.
Right. Oh, God. And it got to come with gold Apple stickers as well. And I wonder if they actually are made of gold because I've dropped them. Oh, sorry, back on Doctor Who.
Mine's got TARDIS over the Apple lights, so when you open it, the TARDIS lights.
Yeah, but Debbie, this is a new MacBook Air. It doesn't do that. It doesn't light up. I know that was quite a cool feature.
That is a cool feature.
I've got some bullet holes coming to stick on it, but it comes with these little gold Apple stickers. Look at gold.
I never want to be told off for going off topic.
No, never.
Yeah. But Kirsty,
where did we go?
Kirsty, it's a sexy new MacBook Air. Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful.
I was told off for having the video on when I was.
The other thing is, I've done it live.
Look at the live.
I've done this a box. Shush.
Apple pun.
Afraid to. He's gone a little strange.
I've also done a video of the opening of the box. Look at this. Even the box is sexy. Look at that. I've done a special video opening of the sexy Mac, I mean, Apple boxes. It's one of those things you don't want to open it because it's so sexy. And you open it up and you get an even sexier thing inside. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Look, it's gold. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Right, we've got some stuff coming through on the feed. Lillian Robbins says, hi again.
That's 1912. There you go.
Terry Miles says, much better hi, everybody. Billy Kirkbright said, it's Anzac Day here in Australia and New Zealand. Public holiday tomorrow, hence I'm able to attend. Well, stay attending, Billy, please. I'll try and get Kirby to entertain you.
Well, try not to go off on too many gold tangents.
Oh, dear. We have a podcasting professional who was watching. It's episode 300 and something, and bandwidth is always episode 300. It's episode 494, or are you talking about your episode 300? I don't know. Anyway, Brandon Moore says, isn't this just old Earth then? I think it's one of the old Earths. Oh, I don't know. Christian Basil,
I think it's an older part of
very
Earth.
Appropriately says, applegrass. Terry Miles, kettle's on. Are you talking about me or Kirby? Christian Basil, and the show has a hit new low. What do you mean hits a hit new low? Hits a new low. You're talking about my lovely gold. Lovely gold.
It's become the Apple.
Look, I can touch it. I'll tell you what that's really cool about it. It's got a little. Well, I don't have to type passwords in. Shush, I don't have to type.
I just got an 11, and it's like that candy apple red, the from the Red campaign. I don't know if you guys...
Stop it. I'm being really excited about my computer. It's got a little button there.
You but I've got an iPhone.
With your finger. That. You don't have to put passwords in. Just use your finger. It's so cool. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
My phone just unlocks when it looks at my gorgeous
face. So does mine. This doesn't do that, but it's quite cool that you...
Your phone opens when it looks at my gorgeous face? That's odd.
Stop it. Where do we get? Oh, yeah. Christian Basil says crunchy. Well, not yet, but when Kirby goes off on one, I'll probably have a bit of a nibble later. Lynn Robin goes zzzz. Belly Kirkbright said, Tommy said Sarah was pretty. Yes. Christian Basil says, and they make you put the logo on your equipment you paid for. I like apples. I don't like apples, but I like. Anyway. Terry Marr says, my precious. Yes, it is my precious. And Ian Drury. Oh, I'm not ready, Ian. Hang on. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Ian Drury. So yeah, sorry, what? Tim. I mixed him up with Ian Kirk. I should have played Hit Me With Your Ribbon Stick because I said Ian Drury. But anyway,
Ian
sorry,
Drury.
Tim.
That's
he says, New Earth, same old Adam Pearson. How dare you? Christian Basil, podcast professional, you have have you seen my shows with your eyes open? Depends what time of day they were being recorded.
Myself have both been on it.
Stop name dropping or podcast dropping, whatever you're talking about. Alan T. Butcher, you turned into a discussion with the difference between a Springer Spaniel and a Cocker Spaniel, but now you're back now. And then Christian Basil says, just put your finger in. No need for a password. If only my high school love life were like that same way. And then Billy Kirkbright said, Ian Drury is dead. That's a song, isn't it? Right then, back to Doctor Who. Anyway, so the Doctor and Esther. Rose have arrived. Oh, jeez.
When they're on the apple grass looking at the city, it was an extremely windy day. They were... having a lot of trouble with their hair and with their costume blowing all over the place.
Yeah,
They had to re-record their lines in studio later.
Okay, well...
But apparently on the recce, it was a bright, sunny, gorgeous day. And then when they showed up, they had all this gale force winds. Well, it was gale force winds.
There was a point in which you could have interjected all that stuff when I'd stopped talking about it. Anyway, right, where were we? All right,
who's Gale?
Was that before or after drooling all over your electronics?
Yeah, 7 minutes.
Yeah, you could have interrupted me.
Yeah, you can't use that excuse.
Yes, I can. And I'm using
this episode.
Whose show is this? Anyway, run this. So where do we get to? So they've arrived and they're...
apples, apparently.
Shut up. And then they're being watched by a man with some weird stuff on his face, sort of tattoo-y type things. And there's a little spider
in... man who doesn't seem to have come from anywhere.
Oh, and there's a little spidery robot, which we recognise if you're a long-term Doctor Who watcher. as in watching previous series, who has been
directly long term. That's just like last year.
And the Doctor and Rose lie down in the field of grass and get watched
because Billy Piper's hair was blowing all over the place. So the only way to get out of those gale force winds was to lay down.
And so basically the Doctor's got a message on his psychic paper. So not very often we see something written on the psychic paper, which we obviously did on this occasion, and it's to go and see somebody in the hospital. Meanwhile, we see a reassembled Cassandra,
made from her backside.
Indeed.
It's the back flesh, yeah.
It's a shame she doesn't talk like this a bit, isn't it? That would have made it quite amusing.
Right, so you're talking out of your ask no questions.
By the way, Billy Kirkbright. Sorry.
May I actually?
No, you can't. I've just sprayed dribble all over my monitor.
Hang on a minute. Kirsty's trying to say something.
Kirsty,
may I draw attention to, for those of us who go over to the to see the to pick out our quotes in the most professional way possible. Yeah. Well, no, there's a site that houses all of them.
Not very possible. Yes.
And I just noticed in this, where is it? Right before they cut from her watching Rose and the Doctor, she goes.
Get on with it.
Says, now I know what it's like listening to you, sweetie.
Yes.
So I'm trying to find the actual quote. You know what that's like.
Yes. Oh, you sound just like me.
Yes, because he subjects us to it all the time.
Yes.
Hang on.
Are we there yet?
Hang on, we're almost there. Just a little bit. Not far now. But
you'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. I'll come back to it then.
Is Ben going to help me? Ben
My dogs are starting to bark now.
I've got a message from Ben. He's standing behind his shed. Oh, thank goodness. What's that dog barking for?
Which shed? Doesn't he have three?
I don't know. You can ask him that in a minute. Hopefully, if we ever get through this episode.
Yeah, but you guys are going to get talking about football and then it's going to get really weird again.
Oh, no.
I didn't know. My thing didn't make a sound, so I didn't know it was he was there. Right, meanwhile, coming through on the thread...
The hospital's really cool.
Hang on. Billy Kirkbright corrected his spelling of the word Drury. And then Christian Basil says, lovely, crunchy, golden apple grass. Only need your finger, no password needed.
And then Kirsty Bissett said, at last I can get my revenge on that little, and then we cut to the doctor, to Rose going, bit rich coming from you.
Yeah.
I know that was sly as, it was just brilliant.
Here he is.
This is a really weird episode.
New Earth?
This episode or the Doctor Who episode?
It's not my fault. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Sorry about the delay. I didn't even realise you were there. My phone didn't go like it normally does when I get a text.
He was ignoring
you. I thought I was being ignored.
No, you weren't being ignored.
You were.
No,
you
weren't.
Because otherwise he would have said derogatory things about you while you weren't there.
I would never do anything like that.
There'd never be anything.
Not when I heard.
You don't need to do that when I'm not here.
Oh, Ben, what's the matter?
No, I always save them up from when you are here.
Oh, that's nicer. I like that. It's saving things for me. That's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, by the way, Ben, you won't be surprised to hear 20 minutes into the podcast that we're hardly anywhere through the episode we're supposed to be reviewing.
Yes, but we had to have your applegasm.
Ben.
I almost put my hot chocolate all over this keyboard.
Anyway, so the Doctor and Rose enter this hospital where it's all run by buddy cats.
Sorry.
I think that was worthy of a ding.
Ding!
No, it wasn't. If I touch my bell...
It was your applegasm she was talking about, sweetie.
If I touch my bell, it might disconnect the recording because it's buried under a load of wires at the moment.
That's what she said.
Sorry, have I joined the right
podcast? Oh, you sound really weird.
You've joined the Nicholas Knox.
Anyway, where are we? I've lost. Oh, yeah, so they're getting in the lift. The Doctor's got in the lift, and he's trying to warn Rose about the decontamination thingy. And then we get a sort of rather silly comedy scene in which they get soaking wet, and then they get dried off. But Rose ends...
Master? Master. What? Theoretically, they didn't tell Billy Piper that they were going to put water on her, but I don't believe that.
But wasn't that in the Doctor Who Confidential?
Yeah.
No? Okay, I'll carry on. Right, so Rose finds herself in this sort of dungeony area where she eventually meets Cassandra again. And the Doctor goes up to the ward and meets the mayor of Manhattan, is it? Who doesn't look very well. And a bespectacled lady, who's obviously the hospital administrator, because hospital administrators apparently wear their hair tied back.
And, Master, when I saw her, I was thinking, wait, where's Stephen Moffat? Because he used to write that sort of character all the time.
Yes.
What lady with glasses and bum?
Yes.
What's the Oedipus episode? They have a reappearance of a very similar looking woman.
And also in the
yes,
that spy caper one where
yes, spy caper one.
Smith and Jones.
No, later on.
Spyfall.
It was the 12th.
Are we almost there, Kirby?
Oh, come on. Right, let's get. You think about it for a minute. I'm going to get back on with the story because I have
it was a 12th Doctor story.
Yes, well, I bet you'll work it out in a minute, but don't um and ah about it. Just tell me in a minute. Right then. Billy Kirkbright is very appalled by Debbie's suspicious wording. She says applegasm with a sort of laughy face, as does Christian Basil, who says applegasm so naughty so. Debbie, what have you got to say for yourself?
I do not apologise. I'm very proud of my comment of applegasm.
Anyway, so the Doctor makes him meets up with the old face of Bo. He's not very well. He's dying. He's dying, Doctor.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
Time heist.
I mean, he's going on about it, isn't he? He's you know, banging on one by. Yeah,
but isn't right. everybody dying from the moment they're born?
Just
you know?
Do it then. Go yeah. on.
And
then after that.
Yeah, he's apparently he's been around for millions. They say millions of years. Maybe buried in the ground for some of it. There you go. I don't know. Anyway, while Rose is in this dungeony place, she sees a video of Zoe Wanamaker having a social gathering.
She's amazing in Shadow and Bone on Netflix. She's amazing.
Thank you, Debbie. And then
she's really good in 2.4 Children as well.
Yeah, love her 2.4
Children. What about My Family?
And Gormenghast. She's brilliant.
Oh, My Family.
And Harry Potter. And in Harry Potter, too.
Yes,
Harry
Potter she's and the Philosopher's Stone. Madam Broom instructor.
Oh, Madam she Hooch, is. Yes. She's just phenomenal.
Anyway,
what what is this? Does somebody want to make a fan club all of a sudden? Everybody's just screaming out favorite.
Yes, it's not a Zoe Wanamaker bin competition.
Zoe Wanamaker. I totally prefer Eve Miles.
Thank you for that. Anyway, so there's a scene. Eventually, because I'm moving this forward somewhat.
To be honest,
after some moisturising, and I was going to use that as my quote, by the way. After some moisturising, eventually Cassandra occupies Rose's body and. This is when Billy Piper does some very amusing acting.
Yes,
I'm sure she
I love those
loved
scenes.
Being Cassandra for these scenes.
Suddenly she acquires a push-up bra.
Yeah.
Nice one, Mary. But
specifically, it was a Wonder Bra.
All right, thank you, Kirby.
Oh, thanks, Kirby. Yeah.
I'm really not sure I've joined the right podcast.
It's the one who mentioned that.
We've been worrying about that all along.
Yeah. We talk about applegasms and push-up bras. Yes.
Not being funny, but the last time I was talking about Billy Piper in a push-up bra, it wasn't a Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, and it's very rare that the words "not being funny" are appropriate to, and associated with yourself, Ben. To be fair.
Did ask the derogatory comments.
That's not derogatory. He's very funny. Hang on. Yeah, he is funny. I was just going to check. Yeah, he's funny. you are funny, Ben.
I know.
Anyway, right, so there's a funny bit scene in which the Doctor calls Rose on her mobile phone and Rose's reaction as Cassandra.
I'll be right up the apples and pears.
Yeah.
Oh, you bloody believe it. This is when I realised that, I mean, totally that Billy, I was turning the corner with Billy Piper. Mm. I'm like, okay, she could do this comedic stuff, and she actually does a really good, you know, Cassandra in there, you know, without overdoing it. You know, there's some little fun stuff at the beginning, and then
it's reported that she requested some more comedic things to do.
Oh, good. Anyway, the mayor of Manhattan is suddenly well again. And eventually, after some rather gross-looking hands appear in front of the screen,
we suddenly
start realizing that something's not quite right. Yes?
Duke of Manhattan.
Well, I'm glad you paid attention to that. So what, it's Manhattan. I got half of it right, wasn't it? Actually, that's more than I normally get right, so I think I should give myself a ding.
A whole other planet. Come on.
I mean, also, Master...
He lives on the Isle of Wight. It's tiny. They don't have much geography to learn, so, you know.
Master?
Yes?
Sorry.
The, one of the Sisters of Plenitude is played by Martha's mom.
Martha. Yeah. I knew that. I saw that in the titles for the cast, you see. Brandon Moore says, apples and pears, Governor.
It's no secret. It's no secret, Kirby.
So anyway, the Doctor, there's a port scene in which, what's the name? Oh yeah, Cassandra, as Rose, kisses the Doctor, and this is a point in which he says, still got it, because that's my quote, you see. And also the Doctor's face as she walked off. Was quite amusing. So anyway, they go down into...
That upset so many fans.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, it upsets me. It's like, here's the turning point.
Mary.
But that's Cassandra kissing the Doctor, yes, not Cassandra. Rose.
Yes. But it's an excuse to kiss the Doctor.
Doctor who's pleased by it. Yeah. And that's where I say it's the turning point into, you know, the stuff we don't like.
Well, I've got used to it. I'd rather it didn't happen, but I got used to it. And it hasn't happened a lot recently because obviously I don't remember the Capaldi Doctor snogging anyone, and I don't remember
before,
eh?
Or any of the Doctors before.
Yeah, so I think it's just the
that the Doctor is portrayed to be sexy, and
it's
long turn.
It's very much a tenth Doctor thing. Anyway, so anyway, the Doctor and Cassandra go down into this sort of area where there's lots of Cybermen in the tomb. Oh no, it's not Cybermen, is it? It just looks like the tomb of the Cybermen.
They only had 9 of those pods down there.
That's very cleverly done, wasn't it, Kirsty? Anyway, so there's some, because it's sort of evilly sort of thing, that all the lighting's green. That's traditional Doctor Who, isn't it?
I love the cats. They are gorgeous.
The cats are gorgeous.
Yeah, the cat nuns. They are gorgeous. The costume on them is just fantastic. And
apparently also gorgeous to touch as well.
Thank you for that slightly over the top comment there, Kirsty. I think this podcast is really going off on a tangent now.
They said that you could actually touch, because the performers, once they had all the prosthetics on, and you could touch them. They said they were just gorgeous to touch too.
Yes.
It was just so,
you really saying that it's nice to stroke a pussy?
I was waiting for that one. No, I was going to say that. Sir.
I have two sat right.
I think you would.
I am too much of a lady to say such a thing.
Anyway,
I'm shocked. Seriously, come all I've heard about is people touching their belts.
Thank you. I've just touched my belt. Anyway,
so
within these these little sort of cells are people with lots of sort of like Rice Krispies stuck to their face. Faces. And Kirby's going to go, no, not Rice Krispies.
Master, they were actually stuck to their face with marshmallow.
Were they? I think of that. Anyway, the Doctor starts snarling down.
And the marshmallows were mixed by, I think, the writer of the episode's mum.
Thank you for the sec.
But they weren't, I think this is the most important part, they weren't actually Kellogg's Rice Krispies. They were a Morrison's Homemake, which is why they look a little bit more callousy.
Yeah, but weren't Aldi's?
Kirby, why do I feel attacked? I think he's attacking us.
I'm just sitting here waiting.
Waiting for what? To interrupt?
I just feel like he's out to get us.
I'm not attacking you. I need to make that clear. I'm not attacking. I'm taking them.
Extracting the mitre, as it were.
Right, yeah. Then. Anyway, I'm interrupting. So. The doctor gets cross because he realises that they're just pumping all these people with every germ in the universe, and he don't think it's right. But Cassandra is not bothered at this stage.
I'm not bothered.
Anyway.
Not bothered.
No.
Am I bothered?
There's a point in which I'm moving forward a bit now because I'm losing the plot. Oh, well, it's quite funny. You know when they start coming out in their numbers and they sort of stand and they stare in that sort of zombie-ish way. It's fairly predictable, to be fair. But I suppose.
How did they learn to walk?
Sir. Like a zombie.
Walk or anything, you know.
Sir.
Yes.
I ain't bothered.
Thank you for that. Billy Kirkbright says, the scene where they're outside the TARDIS and Rose expressed to the Doctor her appreciation of travelling with him, the infatuation was evident. Yes, it was. Thank you, Billy.
He's gorgeous. I'm sorry.
The TARDIS on the Rachnos, not the Rachnos ship, you know, in the Christmas special, he opens the door, she nearly faints.
Yeah. Anyway, so the zombies are out and they're going to infect everybody, and everybody they touch gets turned into Rice Krispie people. And so the Doctor and Cassandra are running around and they keep
popped corn wheat things, not Rice Krispies.
Okay, sorry, Ben, sorry. I'll call them Rice Krispies because
generic crispy pop.
Okay.
Is it possibly Weetabix?
Because it's words I can say, you see, and that helps for me. I struggle with words.
Bubble wrap.
No, bubble wrap. I'm going to stick with Rice Krispies. I started with Rice Krispies, and I'm going to stick with them. So the Doctor says to Cassandra, she must come out of Rose's body. She does. She goes into the Doctor's body, and then we get some silliness.
I'm beating out a samba, baby.
He's got extra bits.
That was one of my alternate quotes.
Yeah. And then they start climbing up this sort of chasm thing, up a ladder, because they're being chased by Rice Krispie creatures.
I'm never going to watch this episode the same again.
I know, it's spoiled forever.
It's and, a 20-foot high ladder that they're scaling with, of course, a green screen at the bottom.
Yes. And of course...
Yes. I was about to say that as well.
Yes, I was.
You dirty liar.
You know I was going to say it.
Anyway. Hey, Kirby, I know you know what make the ladder was.
So then, eventually, after a bit of skullduggery, they end up back into the ward where the Doctor gets lots and lots of medicines attached to him. And basically goes and sprays everybody, all these Rice Krispie creatures.
It's a long way.
And,
the whole fringy thing with that, the cure and everything. It's the one part of this episode story I don't like.
It's a bit like Moffat's Everybody Lives thing, isn't it?
Everybody Lives made sense.
Hmm.
Well, actually, originally it had some darker endings where there were a lot more deaths. But the thing that I can't get over is when they slide down on that mega winch thing going down the shaft, David Tennant's legs are quite clearly wrapped right around a steel cable. Okay. And I'm sorry, I saw the outside of that hospital. There is no way he made it down to the bottom with anything intact.
Okay.
And his legs should be covered in all the grease. And
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was watching a film yesterday with the family called Stowaway. I think it was on Netflix or something like that. And there's a scene in that which reminded me of this scene of going down the... good film, that. Watch it.
Is that the one where they're on a space mission and there's a stowaway and then they have to kind of but it's only a mission for X amount of people or whatever?
Yes, that's right. It's a good film.
I suspect there was a stowaway in it.
Sort of, yes. But, I mean, it's only four cars.
Well, then, Kirby.
It's very impressive considering a very dramatic film... with just four cast members. I'd recommend it. It's good. Anyway, so the Doctor, meanwhile, goes...
You'd recommend only having four cast members?
No, the film
with Stowaway.
Stop
right.
it.
Okay.
Anyway, so the Face of Bo then enigmatically tells the Doctor that he will meet him again, and then he'll tell him a little secret because he can't be bothered to tell him it now.
Why didn't he just do it there and then?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it was scripted to say the whole thing. That you are not alone. And they decided to wait until the next season.
Well, because they just got the announcement that there would be a next season. Included here, but then they got the word, so then they decided, okay, let's stretch this out now that we have another season to go.
Anyway, Cassandra jumps into Chip's body, and Chip's not very well, and he's going to die, so the doctor takes him back to see beautiful Cassandra before she became a trampoline, and then he dies. And yes.
And, you know, there's the problem with Chip is that Chip, she designed Chip and made Chip because she remembered Chip from the party. So he,
I tried to get in there first. But
so it's a pair of docks, isn't it, Kirby?
It's an ontological paradox, yes.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. Yes, Debbie, you can say it now. Just see if you can say it any better than Kirby did.
I was literally trying to say what Kirby just dashed straight in over me saying.
Well, you need to just jump in there.
Well, you can't.
Kirby dashed over you?
Because he always does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie.
Always does.
I'll fix that for you right now.
Yeah.
Julie Gardner and the rest of the crew regretted the hanging balls that were in that restaurant scene, and still do.
Sorry about this, Ben.
Yeah, hanging balls.
This is just disgusting this evening.
Right then, now I'm going to say what I thought about this story. It was okay. It wasn't anything. I mean, bear in mind, it's the first one of the series. I would imagine, you know, it was, for me, slightly disappointing. I thought you said the cat sort of nurses were quite pretty and they're quite nice to the touch. I felt they're a little bit absurd myself, but, you know, each to their own. I thought the comedy side of it was quite entertaining. I thought the zombie Rice Krispie people were just sort of standard sort of stuff you get in these sort of science fiction things. It wasn't really a new thing, was it? On the whole, it's just a sort of, it was almost like a filler episode, but it's the first one of the series for me. It wasn't a great thing to launch a new series with, and a new Doctor, so to a certain extent, because this is the first story we saw, you know, the 10th Doctor for the whole episode in sort of character, sort of thing. So,
and proper clothes rather than his gym jams.
Yeah, it was okay. It was.
I actually think that he doesn't call them gym jams, he called them Jimmy Jammies.
Did you remember this story, Ben? New Earth, or it's New York. He was actually saying in the line. Would you remember this particular story? No. Okay. Well, that's
talking to me. Sorry, well, I missed that.
Pretty sure it's Ben. Last time I checked. Yeah. Do you remember this story?
Of course, I remember the story. It's an episode of Doctor Who, a TV program I've watched many, many times. Exactly. Would you like me to give a review of it?
Well, I'd be interested to find out what you thought.
Okay, it was all right. No, I completely agree with what you just said there. Looking back at it feels a bit like a filler episode as the first episode of the series, which is really bizarre. It had its comedic moments. Billy Piper.
That's what I said.
As usual. David Tennant was very good. And Zoe Wanamaker, wow, she was in it again, I suppose. Well, at least they got rid of Cassandra, an appalling character. I'm sure we can all agree on that. But yeah, it was all right. I had other things to say, but I've forgotten them. So that'll probably do.
Thank you, Ben. Kirby, what did you think?
Meh. This is one of the stories that I really mostly dislike, except for the comedic moments with the comedic moments with all the body swapping. That's fun, and Billy Piper is very funny. But it's a science fiction fantasy TV program, but you can't just squirt all of these cures on everybody and cure them. And
I think you'll find you can.
If you're the writer of this episode, Kirby, I think you can.
But and also, how did all those creatures?
The science fiction fantasy TV.
Well, surely that does cover science fiction fantasy TV show.
No, I think
what Kirby's saying here is he would have much preferred it if they had embarked on some sort of mass vaccination program, starting with the eldest, more vulnerable people first, and working their way down through the age groups until they reached the youngsters, and then going through it all again with a second jab. Was that where you were going, Kirby?
Yeah, right.
Look, I've got a rapid flow test here. Look, Nick, good. Okay, carry on.
When I remember watching the second series and being unimpressed by New Earth then, and then when we came to Tooth and Claw, things picked up for me.
Okay, we're not there yet, though, are we?
No, that's next week. And then there was just the absolute wonderfulness of School Reunion.
Okay, well, I think you're jumping ahead of yourself slightly there. So to summarize, you didn't like it.
For the most part, I did not like it.
Okay, that would have been probably a quicker way of saying it. But thank you very much, Kirby. Debbie, what did you think?
I like this episode very much, and having watched it again with Isla, she was utterly terrified of the Rice Krispie people.
Eliminate, Debbie, that deserves one of these!
I think the question that needs to be asked, Debbie, is if she's scared of the Rice Krispie people, is she more of a Frosties person or a corporal?
No, she's more of a breakfast bagel.
Oh, one of those, is she?
Yeah, she's one of those.
See, I always go for the Honey Monster.
Yeah, there's no surprising in that.
I love when they bring in lots of dress up and characters and different looking people, and it becomes quite a thing that you get painted people throughout Doctor Who, but it's great to see all the different coloured people in it. And she's like, is that a red bus? It's like, yes, it's a red bus. Is that a blue bus? Yes, it's a blue bus. And she was utterly delighted by this episode. So watching it again with her, it was just a delight to watch her go, remembering Cassandra, remembering the little robots, just watching her process the story more than anything really made me enjoy it again, because it is such a romp. It is funny. It is scary. It's you've got Cassandra is amazing, and the acting, obviously, of everybody portraying Cassandra is just brilliant for that. But I object strongly to the kiss, and I know it's Cassandra, but it's the way the Doctor reacts, and it's almost David Tennant is gorgeous, but the sexualizing of the Doctor when it just hit wrong with me, even when I first watched this the first time around. Though I was in prime, oh my god, David Tennant, he is so sexy, oh my god, but it was a case of no, I'm not sure about this, I don't think I like this direction at all. So yeah, it's a bit of the clang, and that for me is that whole the start of the sexualization of the Doctor and making companions romantic interest. But I think the costumes in this are amazing, the music's really good, and the acting's brilliant. So yeah, it's good.
Thank you, Debbie. Billy Kirkbright says, not my fave episode, Marmite. Well, I quite like Marmite. It's apparently a shortage of Marmite at the moment, but I have a cupboard full of it. Then he says, actually,
you just have a cupboard with Marmite.
Yeah, I got, that makes me
want to go up and get some Marmite.
I'm like cupboard.
I got a great big tub of it.
Surprise anybody?
It normally comes in
generally. Because normally, if you have Marmite, it's in a cupboard.
Yeah, okay, but anyway, you normally get it in a jar, don't you? I got it in a tub because I got it from Booker's. It's big, and that'll keep me going for a while.
You
anyway,
went to see a hooker, and you got Booker's. Some Marmite.
Booker's. I have to buy one.
Strange, you're weird. Seriously, I've never paid for Marmite from a hooker before.
What happens when you don't live on the mainland?
Anyway, Billy Kirkbright says, actually, be quiet
on the island, mate. They have to trade in consumable goods now.
Be quiet. Yeah. Right, Billy Kirkbright says, actually, given that Marmite is my favourite of Vegemite, Promite and Marmite.
Vegemite's horrible.
He's admitting that Marmite's nicer than Vegemite. I tried Vegemite. It's vile. It's probably more a Vegemite episode. Very good, Billy.
Vegemite is okay. It's not Marmite, but it was okay the one time I tried it.
And Lillian Robin has said something exceptionally controversial. I was okay with the kiss.
Well, that's... audience one there.
She's just imagining that she was Cassandra for that particular scene. And Billy Kirkbright says, hear, hear on the kissing thing, Debbie.
Nothing. I'm not stop making something of nothing.
Yeah, but they do. They spend about three seasons making it something.
No, it's the rest of this one. It's only one season.
It's just the rest of this one.
Excuse me. Then you've got Martha Jones.
But they don't kiss, though, do they?
The Doctor.
Yeah, you got Martha going, just pining for the Doctor who ignores her.
Yeah, he doesn't reciprocate, does he? And then he tells Donna that he wants a mate, and she goes, "You want a mate?"
The sexualization of the Doctor. This is the beginning of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of it in this series, but I don't think it's something that it was. Yeah, I think it's acceptable for the companions to go all gooey-eyed over the Doctor. What is not acceptable is for the Doctor to reciprocate it.
Well, but Billy Piper and David Tennant just get so silly over the course of their time here now that, for me, they become very irritating. Mm. You know, they're always looking at each other and laughing.
It's like, they are,
doesn't she? Mm. Yeah, they're above everything that's going on, and I never liked that.
Okay. No, the haughtiness of time travel, the hubris, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Billy Kirk Bright says... Here, send that one. Sorry, I got slightly distracted by you lot.
Does Billy Kirkbright say here?
Yes, he does.
Billy, on the
yes, he does. Yeah, sorry. I thought something new came.
I know Billy Kirkbright really well. I just thought that's what he was going to say.
Right then, Kirsty, what did you think?
I'm cool with the kissing thing, anyway.
I'm sure you are, but we're talking about Doctor Who at this stage.
What?
Well, it was in the episode, was it not? Boss? go have an applegasm.
Shut up.
I'm never gonna forget that.
That was Debbie.
I really kind of like this episode. It's a nice kind of light intro and re-intro into the series, and it's what really you kind of see happen every time we get a new Doctor, as we get this kind of really kind of the quick adventure, but it's just something sets everything up, and this was no different, and who knows what medicine's like in the future. I don't live on a planet thousands of years in the future. You might be able to cure things with just colored liquid. I don't know. I don't live in the future. I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't live in the future on another planet.
The best way of curing disease is if you've got transmats. Is transmat the person and remove the disease when you transmat them.
Yeah. Did you see a transmat in the hospital?
No. There was quite a lot of people there, Kirby. Sorry, there was quite a lot of people there.
I just wonder what the repercussions of this could have been if that was made public back in the day. That obviously, if you spray people with coloured... I mean, would everyone have been walking around looking like Ribena?
It was a green drink. That was more of a lime thing.
But anyway,
Sixties.
It is great.
That's where they came from.
Put it down, Adam. Put it down.
What?
Put it down.
I'm still initiating it by getting all my apps and stuff on it at the moment.
He's initiating. God, do you need to be alone? Should we go?
No, I am listening. Honestly, I'm listening.
But you're initiating while you're listening, and that's what's
problem. this is going in very strange directions.
Finish my review, or
I'm not stopping you doing your review.
Kirsty, keep going.
All right. It's great. It's light and colourful. I mean, I love that. Isla loved it because that's the great thing is you get this stark white room, which they said that white is really bad to film on, and then you put these colourful characters in there and Bo at the end, it's gorgeous. And then you cut down to the 18th century house that they used for the basement, and it's great. And
what else was filmed in that same house? Come on.
Oh, stop it.
I'm doing a review at the moment. I am throwing in factoids that I deem appropriate to my review. If you would like to write your own review, you are welcome to do so. Anyway,
and you can send your entry to the 20 megabyte podcast at whatever the email address
Facebook
is.
Facebook, which you can join.
That was it. Yeah, I knew there was something around that.
But it's a good, quick adventure, and it's got some silly science, and I don't really give a rat's ass. It's got some good comedy, which It's basically a little, I think it's a little look at what we're going to get in the coming series, you know. We're going to get some great adventures and a lot of running.
Oh, sorry. I got slightly distracted. Thank you, Kirsty.
Initiating again.
No, I was just trying to get the logo up so it'd look really cool in the backdrop without the podcast logo. Oh, hang on, it's loading now. Oh, I've lost it. Down. Right, what have we got then?
Don't worry, it happens to Billy, lots of guys.
Billy Kirkbright says, "Hear, hear," on the kissing thing, Debbie. And then Lily and Robin said, "Yay for Kirsty. Cool with the kissing." And then Billy Kirkbright says, "Love your laptop, Adam."
Did Billy have an applegasm?
I don't know, but I don't care either. Right then, so that was, thank you, Kirsty, by the way. I think that leaves us the dulcet tones of Mary Lang.
To me, this episode struck me as a fever dream that Russell T. Davies had and committed to paper. It's so crazy in so many directions. It's kind of like, oh, you know, we like this character from End of the World or End of Time. Let's bring them back. And I do know that he wanted to use this episode to establish a doctor that we only got a little bit of an introduction to at the Christmas episode. So he wanted this to be very doctor oriented so that we could all get to know him. But I think, you know, like Debbie said, and others are fearing that this love relationship that is growing between the doctor and Rose, it really gets in the way. It's almost like it shuts him off for us, because now he and Rose are almost like a little closed society that are always, you know, referring to one another, laughing and looking at one another. And it's like, so the audience has lost their connection to him. So that is at least the big reason why I don't like these romantic relationships, because then we stop being, you know, the companion stops being my connection to the doctor and the adventure, because, you know, she's all tied up with him and him with
tied
her.
Tied up? I didn't see that bit.
It's crazy. There's humor that at times is appropriate and at times I think is just kind of stupid. The story is nonsensical. And I did love the costumes and the makeup and the settings and the music and everything, but no, the story, and I agree with Billy, you know, it's like he used Marmite, but then he went to Vegemite, and I think I'm the Vegemite. Yeah, I really did not care for this at all.
Thank you, Mary. Never mind. That was just my sympathetic
tone.
That's
interesting that many times Mary and I disagree on stories. We agree with this one.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a moment in history, Kirby. Right, so that means we now move on to Kirby's part of the show. It's called Feedback via his request and demand, in fact, for feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join and watch the show. Yes. So, now, yes?
Someone double check for me. I see only four.
Well, I can't double check at the moment because the screen's... I could double check on my rather sexy... And you,
but I had trouble earlier with it not showing comments on another thing. So,
okay. Have you found it yet?
Robert Wentz Jr. says, "My review of New Earth, the Doctor and Rose are 5 billion years in the future in New Times 15 York. This is the planet they settled on after the destruction of Earth in the episode The End of the World, where cat nuns try to find cures for diseases. We see the backside of Cassandra and her fateful slave, Chip. We have the face of Bo back to give the Doctor a message, but we have to wait until Series 3 to find out. This is the first time the Doctor says, sorry, so sorry.
Sorry, so sorry.
Like the
what was that?
That's me doing a Doctor. Sorry, so sorry.
Are you ordering some sort of Chinese food?
What, yeah,
chop suey.
Not like to be.
Soy, so soy.
Yeah, carry on.
God, when it comes to impressions, Adams, you've nailed it, mate. You've nailed it.
says, now he made me lose my place. He likes the zombie attack on the nuns. Every time I see the Duke of Manhattan, I keep thinking of Escape from New York in the line, the Duke of New York, you're A number one. The doctor setting up the cure and passing it on was cool. No, it wasn't. Cassandra jumping between the doctor and Rose was funny. Yes, it was. Unfortunately,
it's funnier when there's sparkly light things and you blow them with your breath and blow them on people.
Yeah, unfortunately, a very average story. My rating is 3 out of 5. Oh, and by the way, that his mentioning Mistake from New York, I mean Escape from New York, reminds me of the actor who plays John Walker in Falcon and the Snow and the Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. is the son of
Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell's son, and they look
so
alike.
Yeah. That's why they're related. Knew that going in that this is Kurt Russell's son, and they look similar.
My kids don't look anything like me.
Oh God.
That's I'm sorry to have to bring this up on a podcast, Kirby. It's taken a while, but we have to.
Well, they're both girls, for starters.
They're adopted.
They're all adopted. Yes, we established this probably about 11 years ago, but never mind. We'll carry on.
Was Wyatt adopted? Is it the point you're
saying? I don't know.
Ian Kirk says, "I've been working a lot this week, and I'm working tonight." Well, I wonder, did he have feedback the last time we discussed this one?
I don't know.
You got to check. I did not listen to us with our previous discussion of this one.
Very unusual for you.
I know. Sorry.
Are you done? Oh, have we still got Neil James's to do?
Neil James. Okay. New Earth, the 10th Doctor and Rose are instantly annoying together.
Horrible people.
And it's gonna get worse. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. that needs a ding.
Oh, go on then.
I enjoy the return of Cassandra in the face of Beau. Belly Piper shows she is very good at comedy in the scenes where she is inhabited by Cassandra. She actually does a much better job at it than David Tennant, in my opinion. The music is effective, and the final scene with Cassandra is lovely. Oh, yes, I love that scene, too. So, effects and sets are decent, and the story is a bit ropey. Overall, this is a pretty dull series opener, but the comedy saves it from being a complete dud. Nice cats, and it says out of 5, which means I did not get the symbol.
It's 3 stars.
Okay, yeah, for some reason it didn't show here.
It's because you don't have
Mac.
Yeah, you need a Mac.
No, we can open up in a different browser. It'll look fine.
I've got so many Apple things in this room. It's unreal.
Yeah, I completely agree with Neil.
Oh, I do too. I do too, especially about the annoying combination. Mm-hmm.
I mean, next week is it? It's the
Tooth and Claw.
Oh, cool.
Werewolves.
Tooth and Claw.
And that's one of my all-time favourites, and I can't be on for it. Because
You can say it's, if you're not on the show, you can say it's one of your all-time favourites, Debbie. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm
going
to say it now. It is one of my all-time favourites.
Yeah, we've got a string of really good stories coming up, and also some that are not so good, but we'll get to those.
This next one, I'm not on next week, obviously, because it's my daughter's birthday, so we're having celebrations next weekend. We were doing it on Saturday, but nobody could come on Saturday now, so it has to be Sunday, so I apologise.
Never mind. Okay, thank you. Right, and so what I've got stuff. Now, I've got a message come through from the nunnies. If it's too quiet, I'm going to have to drop it in post-production, which is something we don't normally do on this show. But we'll
maybe
give it a go.
Use your new man.
Good morning, 20 Megalodos. And you're going to hear
it's all right.
Quarter past 9 on Sunday morning, sitting here with a nice cup of tea. I've just been out for my my morning stroll to the paper shop and back. I'm doing about 5,000 steps, so going to church soon. But I thought I'd just come and record a piece about New Earth, which I watched
Thank you, Andy.
Morning doing the ironing. Well, there's certainly some very outstanding pieces in it. I think I wonder whether Alan T. Butcher has been closely studying them. But the story itself, New Earth, it's fairly common science fiction story, isn't it? You know, humans have gone and spread out on the new planets and living it. You only get to see the hospital there. You don't really get to see very much. And of course, you got the song, the saying about the little shop and the doctor's obsession with this, you know. So that's one thing. But actually, good story, because it's you realise there's so very quickly something going on with these people who are being cured of things that they shouldn't be cured of. You know, there's no cures for 1,000 years. I like the Duke of Manhattan. I thought that was a really good piece. And you could actually see, you know, that's how PR companies would work with somebody like that, wouldn't they? And then this woman actually goes quite loony at the end, doesn't she, trying to get out and get, well, looking after herself, isn't she? But it's quite sinister. And you see the people who are, God, yeah, they've got everything, haven't they? And they are artificial constructs, as is Chip. I wonder if they came to the same place, really. But it's the doctor going in and being a proper doctor, actually. I mean, the way he heals people is a bit silly, isn't it? You know, all that thing suddenly transfers immediately. I can't quite see it happening so quickly. But at least, you see, you know, he picked up something from the beginning, you know, when he had the disinfection. And it's quite funny watching Billy Piper doing a hair and things like that in the drying thing. I thought that was quite funny. And obviously must be quite warm. They just dried out their clothes, you know. So, you know, not to the top clothes, but presumably they're actually soaked underneath as well. So all the underwear and the clothes have been absolutely drenched, and that got dried off as well. But then as the doctor starts to realise what's going on and starts trying to put pace with it. And Cassandra as well. I think the way that Cassandra kept being swapped from character to character, you know, at one point in one of the zombie type things, actually, I thought that really did work quite well. And, you know, when she's playing Rose, when she's being Rose, and, you know, all Courtney, I like your balance, I compares and things like that, you know, I thought it really was very, very funny. But it didn't distract the story, it actually added to the story.
Wow.
And
what an,
and the way it finished with the doctor curing everybody. Now, what you don't know is, you know, what's going to happen to all these people. You know, how they're going to start build lives and things like that, because they're sentient, they're intelligent. What are you going to do with these people? You know, how do you integrate them into society? Interesting. But the way Cassandra went, you know, accepting that it was time to go. And I thought, when taking her back to the things she saw at the beginning with at the party, and then going, but then seeing Cassandra, the younger Cassandra, being really very moved by this. So it's interesting, of course, just, you know, that obviously it was a change in the timeline, because she would have remembered doing happening. So does that mean when she goes to come to doing it again, if you see what I mean? I do wonder. but yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it's a doctor starting to develop his own character. And the relationship with Rose obviously is getting quite, well, you do wonder, you know, did anything go on in the TARDIS? You know, one has to wonder. And as I say, Billy Piper certainly was coming to the fore, wasn't she? But there you go, so that was that. So can't think what we got next week. I did see it at the end of
Tooth
it.
And the Claw.
No doubt I'll watch that next week, do the ironing. But until then, be seeing you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Andy. I will say it's quite interesting that when he was doing his Cockney accent, he was much easier to understand.
You're so mean. Stop it.
Right.
He's got a Guildford accent. He's fine.
Oh, it's a Guildford accent. Oh, okay.
Great accent.
Thank you. Oh, you're talking about his accent, sorry.
Yeah. A nice southern British accent, mate. That's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what you want to say in like.
We've also got this from Brandon Moore.
Oh, that's very kind, you strange little thing. Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Mr. M with some feedback for New Earth by RTD. After having been thoroughly traumatised by the gas mask zombies of The Empty Child, I was not as traumatised by the almost comical horror zombies that you have in this episode. But watching it again as an adult, they are quite terrifying. But any horror effect that they have is kind of diminished by the whole weird touching them to cure them ending, which is probably the weakest resolution that we've had to a story since the revival. Or at least so far, there's definitely weaker to come. I found out actually that originally, I think they were supposed to all die. All of the kind of homegrown patients, I don't know what it was exactly, but the doctor was going to do something and they were all going to die. And then Russell T. Davis kind of went, oh, this is far too bleak and just, you can tell that he didn't have a good ending to the story. But they're not the main villain anyway. The main villain is Cassandra, and it was really good to bring her back. She works better, I think, here than she did in the first episode. And all the body swap stuff, although it's unoriginal, works well in the context of the episode. I found it tremendous fun as an 8-year-old, and it's still quite fun now, to be honest. It's quite interesting that for his first full outing as the Doctor, his second adventure, the Doctor gets to spend some time being possessed by Cassandra. In his next episode, he gets to spend some time being Scottish, so they're giving a lot of versatility and variety to David Tennant's performance in these early episodes. The cat nuns are brilliant. Anna Hope, in particular, is the most cat-like of them, and she's just gorgeous, both out and in that makeup. That's quite impressive. I like the Duke of Manhattan. Why are there so many references to Manhattan during Ross Davis' time? Obviously, we have the New York story with the Daleks, and there's the Manhattan suite in The End of the World, and there's probably other things that I can't think of. I like the reference to Chip as being like Gollum. Chip's a whole not the best character, but yeah, he works okay. And of course, bringing back the face of Bo, giving him this whole mythos and legend. If you read the book Monsters and Villains that was written by Justin Richards, I think, and was published in 2005, Russell T. Davis provided lots of sort of background notes on the newer monsters that appeared in Series 1, including a whole sort of blurb about the legends of the Face of Bo, which included the reference to meeting the Traveller, or the Time Lord, a third time and the last time, when he would sort of reveal his greatest secret. And when he decided to bring the Face of Bo back for this episode, he didn't remember this at all. And I'm pretty sure it's Justin Richards, it might have been someone else, pointed out to him, oh, so you're going to come back to this whole legend of the Face of Bo. And Ross Davis had no idea, he didn't remember that he'd written that at all. So he kind of thought, oh, I could use that. So it kind of formed the whole structure of the New Earth trilogy. But yeah, it's a good episode. Got me really into the show and got me hooked and started watching regularly, but not as good as next week, which is one of my all-time favourites, Werewolves Queen Victoria. Good fun. I'll see you then. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. M. Stroke Brandon. Did somebody squeak something in the background, or was that just somebody?
I just said snap when you said it's one of my
snap
for next week. I said snap.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
My cat's been definitely shouting again. So
which segues over to the fact I've just sent you a load of blurb through.
What, me?
For you to dictate.
Oh, yes, so you have. The Doctor and Rose arrive on a nice lawn on New Earth in New York. The Doctor receives a call to go to Hospital Ward 25 on his psychic paper. Shame the TARDIS missed the hospital building by at least a mile. All these cats everywhere. There must be a mad cat lady nearby. Oh, look, there's Cassandra. Ask human trampoline again. Good job her brain is in the box at the bottom of her frame. I think all that stretching made her mad. The Doctor takes the lift up toward 25 and finds people with odd and deadly diseases and the Face of Bo. Rose is whisked away to the basement. She has a thing about basements and trouble. The Doctor and Rose kissing again. Hang on, did he enjoy that? Where has Rose been hiding those two? Nicola's Norks have got rivals.
You what? Sorry? I don't bloody think so.
These are well-meaning pussycat nurse nuns, but have the humans instead of lab rats. Wrong species to use when the Doctor is around. Brainless zombies wandering about. It's like Oxford Circus Underground Station in the rush hour. No, really, I've been there. Me too. Yes, it's very similar. Yeah. The Doctor shows his soft side again when he takes the dying Cassandra to see herself. Isn't that the same party she was watching a film of in the basement? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Why didn't she remember the death of someone at that party before she went for a long stretch and got framed? Well, that's the last we'll see of her. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Sorry. Sorry. So sorry. We enjoyed this. It had a good story and a happy ending. Shame about the kissing, though. Next week, an amusing brisk walk in the Highlands of Wales, no Scotland, and we learn the story behind Torchwood and why the royals stay in a castle during full moon. Sorry, ma'am. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Oh,
Master?
Yes.
Well, actually, I need to correct them. It's uh-oh, floor 26, not floor 25.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, Terry.
Pedant. Pedant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stuff coming through on the feed. Ben, do you mind? Ben Shoveler says, I see you now. Was that a song by the Who? Yes.
I was outside your back door.
I beg your pardon? I'm sat
you
down.
You know what I mean, sir. We've been there before.
Terry Miles says, Kirby Butler Sloan, there are only four. Pardon?
You can have any wonder.
See, Butch has been to my house.
Couldn't understand what Master was saying there.
All right. Terry Miles says, Kirby Bartlett Sloan, there are only four.
Only four what?
That's what you said. And then, I know. And then Billy Kirkbright says, my bed calls. See, he's got a bed that talks. Wow.
Oh, wow. I wish I had one that would say, will you please just go to bed, woman?
Lillian Robbins said, yoo-hoo, Billy. And then Laurie Nix says, runs in to catch a glimpse of Adam's pretty face. So you're not looking in the right place. Look on this feed. Now go back to
say,
smoke
which
some
watching?
Apple
it's
grass.
It's not the same one I've got on Facebook.
Meanie.
Maybe she's got some sort of filter.
Yeah, it could be. That's what it is.
Got that cat filter on again.
That's what it is.
Apparently he's really nice to touch.
Terry Miles said feedbacks. Oh, four feedbacks. That's what.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. That's right. In the feed. Yeah, well done. Yes. Yeah, that was backdated, that particular comment. Ben, I sent you through a load of blurb so you could show the ladies how it's done.
Ooh. Oh, don't forget someone needs to read Robert's.
Yes. Well, that's going to be.
Harry Lang. Well, you caught me with a mouthful of something there.
I'm not at all surprised. Changed. Mary, would you like a week off? Because I thought Kirsty could read Robert's, because he's got she's got his sort of accent.
Yes, he does.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you know what I mean. It's sort of antiquitical. Antiquitical.
1 second.
Not now, though. Ben, would you mind doing... not in the biblical sense, obviously. Doing the feedback of Alan T. Butcher, please. Thank you very much.
I certainly will. Are you ready?
Good luck.
Have you seen it? Because if you haven't seen it and you're saying good luck, it's like you've
it's
seen it.
It's usually about 2 meters long on the Facebook.
That's what she said.
I've had to go out and buy another new phone just so I can get the whole message. And I've had to check the pronunciation. There are words in this I've never even seen. I'm 46. I've seen a lot of words in my time, but there are words in this I've never seen. So I'm just going to guess how they're pronounced.
You caught me with once. That was quite funny.
Right. Let's give this a go. A large hospital with plenty of room to swing a cat. Or, face it, Jack's back. Near 20 megabytes. New Earth is, of course, a closely studied presentation on medical ethics pertaining to drugs trialing and its methodology. The Sisters of Plentitude offer a multitude of medical breakthroughs, but at the price of moral turpitude. The doctor, understandably, develops a negative attitude which he deals with in his accustomed fortitude. Lady Cassandra's obsession with pulchritude and delaying senectitude is shown up as crude, but with ability of service, that ship dude is given some latitude. Thank you very much.
Good.
It should be noted that whilst some might say that the resolution of the story depends on a massive overdose of multiple medicines is a bad thing, others might say you're not kidding. We also learn that cats can work together effectively as a team after all, as long as they develop a religion. But that's not necessarily a good thing. Also, Martha's mum used to be a cat in the far future. I like that line. All in all, New Earth is a fairly limited tale which provides a good backdrop to further develop our new Doctor and showcases a strong companion in a straightforward context with a villain the audience is familiar with to add interest. As such, we don't have to work too hard, and nor does the plot, leaving the writer concentrating on character and our emotional connection and responses to them. The romantic tenor of Doctor and Rose's interactions is very pronounced. This seems like it could be the start of a rather reckless approach, which might have limited the show by investing too much in an character. However, in retrospect, it is clear that this did not cause a problem, and the robustness of the show and its eponymous character was able to move on when it needed to. I don't think the plot here is poor, nonsensical, and even irresponsible. However, this doesn't seem to detract as much as you think from the entertainment value. Even though the ridiculous body swaps nonsense is fun because of the acting opportunities it affords to the cast. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as something more satisfying might have been established about the motivations about and the universe these events fit into, given more time. Next up, Doctor Who and the Monks of Limbs, or Wolfie Returns, Freedom for Tooting. Those are my thoughts, Sir Alan T. Butcher.
Or well done, Ben, well done.
Hey, I nominate Ben to read more of Alan T.
Yeah.
Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very that would be a regular spot.
Yeah. I'll accept that. Enjoy Alan's work. As long as he only keeps it to words of less than three syllables, I'm absolutely fine.
Less than three silly bulls.
You realize that he might take that as a challenge.
Alan will absolutely take that as a challenge, and I'm going to be hammered next week. I absolutely guarantee it. But hey, bring it on. I have Google, and I can listen to how words should be pronounced whilst I'm listening to you lot as well. So.
Well, we should try and feed one of his texts into Siri or into Alexa and see how well they do in reading them back. Lillian Robbins says, I can't wait for Alan T. Butcher to publish a closely studied look at Doctor Who. Well, that won't be, of course, until we've finished, as a logical assumption. And now we're going to listen to Kirsty Bissett dictating and probably impressionising Robert Haynes.
Impressions? No.
Well, no. I'm okay. Sorry. I thought it was worth a try.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm reading. Can I suggest you do this as Chewbacca? No, it's got to be Robert.
Jeez, that's really quite good.
Stop yawning on the show. That's what the listeners do.
Than Adam's Doctor Who. Anyway, Kirsty, go.
Anyway, yes. So, on to the review.
Off you go. Start speaking now.
I'm going to be you're a little more critical now. The rapport between Billy and David is evident.
Hold on a minute. We've got to try and locate where this accident is meant to
be. I'm trying to narrow down the Australian bandwidth here.
Because at the moment, it sounds like it's drowning.
Well, the kiss when Rose is possessed by Cassandra is perfectly okay.
The obviously, you're not bothered about insulting an entire continent.
No, what you don't understand is I was born in New Zealand.
I know.
This is what we do.
That's the antiquities.
They're Australians.
That makes it even worse.
They're Australians. This is what we do.
You should be better at the accent then.
Why?
try Welsh. I mean, it couldn't be much worse.
Anyway, back to the review. I'm going to be trying to be a little more critical now. The rapport between Billy and David is evident. While the kiss when Rose is possessed by Cassandra is perfectly okay, it's the Doctor's still got it that I object to, and you can see the rocks start to steep in.
That was a mistake.
Romantic companion Doctor relationship agenda that RTD seems to love. I like the Doctor to be fond of his companions, like the Tom Baker Sarah Jane dynamic, for example, but nothing more. And Tennant starting his camp acting, which I think starts with his possession by Cassandra, I'm beating out a samba, being particularly cringe-worthy.
Yes.
I will interject a note that I picked up from the Blu-ray.
Is that,
that's the first mention
he
of the
did
week.
Actually ask for them to tell him if he was going to camp, so it's just how he was directed.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to the
have we not got that feature with you?
Hush, sweetie.
Brilliant.
The CGI is starting to look rough around the edges these days. So am I.
you look amazing. Stop it.
Ooh, the disease transformations are looking rough. The lift elevator sequences are looking awful. No. This just sounds like a complaint list. looking awful and look badly composited.
This is crap.
I'm sorry, Robert, that I'm tearing your review apart. Anyway, I will go back a bit. Lift elevator sequence look quite awful and look badly composited, which is a shame. The meat weren't also weren't very well realized. Think about it for a second. These are grown for coming up with cures for diseases, so how do they learn things like how to speak and understand people? How do they get fed and learn to walk, and so on? There are people who vote
and
like that.
It is explained how they learn to speak.
Yes, there is. There is a brief diatribe of like how they've developed consciousness. I do like the idea with the cure for those infected, though...
I don't like the idea.
If anyone's going to interrupt Robert's review, it's me. Yeah, shut up.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, back off, Kirby. He's going to interrupt himself.
If anyone does any interrupting around here, it's going to be me.
There you go.
I do like the idea with the cure for those infected, though there were a great many of those cubicles that we didn't all see them all go for the shower, but they could pass it on by touch. But anyway, it was a bit naff to show some fairy dust when those heel touch others. And the makeup prosthetics on the cat nuns was bloody excellent, though. But my favorite bit came at the end. No, not when it ended, but that little sequence with Chip as Cassandra, meeting the younger self and getting so concerned with who she thinks is just a young man collapsing and dying. So sad, and it gets me every time, that scene. It quite makes up for what I didn't like about the episode. Oh, and I love the attempts when Cassandra is in rows of trying the Cockney rhyming slang. And that was a closely studied murder of somebody's review.
Yes. Done,
sorry, Robert.
Kirsty.
Well murdered.
This is what happens when you don't come.
Well, and, you know, this is the beginning of the sonic screwdriver being able to do anything.
Magic wand situation.
Yeah, this is the magic wand sonic screwdriver, yeah.
That's what she said.
Did you not like that then?
No, obviously not.
Sonic being used as a magic wand was the reason why it was gotten rid of with the Fifth Doctor.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but here it is again.
Here it is again, indeed. And the War Doctor says about it as well.
Do you know why?
It doesn't seem to shut you lot up.
Merchandising.
I've told you the story before about how I was. I got a. A 10th Doctor remote control sonic screwdriver. I was gifted it.
Wasn't an 11th one.
What's the point of a remote control sonic screwdriver, may I ask?
No, I'm actually... Well,
really stylish way.
The remote control sonic screwdriver.
You click it up and down and it would change. No, it was definitely a 10th Doctor one, Adam, because the 11th Doctor one was very common. This was very uncommon.
So yours is rare.
I sold it for £350 on eBay about a year and a half ago.
I know this was going to be an eBay story. I wouldn't have.
No, I'm just saying how nice I am to sell all the presents that my friends give me for money.
You have an eBay story last time.
It's probably the same eBay story.
We used to have an eBay feature every week when we had when you needed to do padding.
Was the eBay story last time? How I'd lost the account. Yes, it was, wasn't it?
I promise not. For you next time. I promise not to sell my Sonic Spork on eBay because it was given to me by Debbie.
All right, Right then.
That's a shame, because there'd have been many, many people bidding on it. I'm absolutely convinced.
As we all know, Mary got a week off from doing feedback, so she'll get comeuppance at some point. You'll get your turn. All right.
There was definitely some words in that sentence. I'm not sure what all of them were.
Yes, I stumbled over a few bits and bobs there. Right, it's Doctor Who News. Who Adventures by David J. Howe. We know who David J. Howe is, don't we?
Yes, friend to the show.
Well, sort of. He has been on the show. His wife is a well-known novelist, so it's quite nice that he's been able to put a little publication together. It says, Telos Publishing has announced a new book from writer and researcher David J. Howe. Remember, he's the one that was setting up his own little Doctor Who museum of memorabilia a couple of years ago. The Who Adventures looks at the ranges of Doctor Who titles published by Virgin Publishing in the early 1990s and contains a history of the range, as well as many pieces of cover art. Daddy of the show, that's Paul Wilson. Uncle of the show, Alistair Pearson, will probably have his artwork featured in it, I wonder. Well, I wonder if he knows whether it has been or not. We'll find out. The Ice Warriors, a vinyl release. The BBC is to release the soundtrack from the second Doctor story, The Ice Warriors, as a vinyl disc.
Well, I love it. I love collecting Doctor Who vinyl.
No, you'll be buying that one then.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
The discs,
I always see
cool.
them and think I'd rather buy something by Royal Blood.
Right, Candy Jar Books update.
It's mostly Dire Straits or Doctor Who.
Yeah, so Candy Jar,
they're so clearly related.
Candy Jar Books have released another Lethbridge Stewart story called "The Haunting of Gabriel Chase." It's written by Andrew Allen. More books are coming out, like Travers and Wells, A City of Dr. Moreau, by another Andrew Allen book, and he's written two of them, actually, to be fair. Doctor Who Magazine, episode 563, which you can get delivered to your home from whowon.co.uk. It's got a lovely picture of Christopher Eccleston on the cover. Talking of Christopher Eccleston, like we said last week, he's back in Big Finish, and he's very excited about the forthcoming work he's doing in Big Finish. So that's quite good. Are we going to hear more Ninth Doctor at some point?
He's arrived on Big Finish, because he was terrific as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
He was.
I want him back on television, Big Finish.
So do I. I want him to be back for the 60th anniversary story to make up for the fact he didn't bother turning up for the 50th anniversary.
I don't care.
How long ago that was. It was nearly 10 years.
That's unbelievable. It's like almost 10 years, isn't it?
No,
like,
but it doesn't feel like it, Ben.
It doesn't. No, seriously, it doesn't. How old are we all getting? Because time goes quicker as you get older.
It does.
Which means the 70th anniversary is going to be in 4 weeks Wednesday.
Do you know why time goes quicker as you get older? Because you forget stuff, and therefore time seems to go quicker.
Well, I'll tell you what it is, Adam. I think it's because you forget stuff. Time.
Right, on whowon.co.
I don't remember what you said.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I've got some Doctor Who news for you, if you'd like some Doctor Who news.
If it's not what I've already said, that would be good.
Who would do that, Adam? Who would do that? No. This is to do with Noel Clarke, who we all know and love as an actor.
And he plays tough nuts, doesn't he?
And he appeared on a breakfast TV program in this country last week, I think it was, or the week before, or maybe the week before. And he was being interviewed, and he was asked about the rumours that he was going to be the next Doctor Who.
Oh, my God.
And he said that he is not going to be the next Doctor Who. So I would also like to, at this point, say that I am not going to be the next Doctor Who.
Thank you.
So me and Paul Clark, both out the running.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I'm in the running. So.
No, you're not. I've seen the list. You're not.
Who's this Doctor Who?
No, I'll be quiet. Right, back to whowon.co.uk, who have some items coming soon. I'm ignoring you.
Doctor Who1.co.uk.
Fourth Doctor Dalek Universe Dalek Protocol by Nicholas Briggs, which is a Big Finish production on CD, along with The Eighth Doctor's Stranded 2, which has got a rather cool cover. Lots of people on it, which I can't make out because it's so tiny. Christmas Invasion, the novel. These are all available on pre-order, by the way. Torchwood Story Drive. Some of the Torchwood cast are going to Wales Comic Con, as are we, hopefully. But not John Barrowman yet, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that one. End of the Beginning, which is a Eighth Doctor. Oh, it's a multi-Doctor story, judging by the cover. Gallifrey, Time War 4. Lost Story 6.1, Return of the Cybermen. Lost Story 6.2, Doomsday, Contract, and Master.
Beginning. It's a multi-Doctor story because it's the end of the main range when they would put out a story every month. Because the very first one was a multi-Doctor story, so they're closing with a multi-Doctor story.
Thank you, Mary. Okay. And there's a Master, in which the Master is portrayed by Eric Roberts, according to the cover at least, which is tiny, but I can just about make out Eric Roberts' face. And then but Ruby's Curse book. By Alex Kingston, who is I've got my picture taken with. Is it a book? Did he say what Master? No, it's a CD. It's an audio.
Oh, so he's actually returned.
He's returned to Big Finish as the Master. Yes.
Yeah, I had read that. Sorry, I was barely listening. I was filing my nails.
Also, currently available. Debbie, currently available at whowon.co.uk as
previously mentioned.
Doctor Who magazine 563. Which, if you live in the United States, can get delivered to your door. Planet of Dust and Other Stories, by various authors, which is a CD and of short stories, I would probably guess. But it says a thrilling selection of weird and wonderful short stories. Oh, it is. From the pages of Doctor Who Annual. That should be quite cool, Kirby. I reckon you should get that one. Power of the Daleks Special Edition by David Whittaker, DVD. Now, that does sound exceptionally cool. I presume an animated recreation of The Power of the Daleks, and Scratch Man by Tom Baker, Doctor Who story. There you go. Those all available now to purchase from whowon.co.uk.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
Oh, for goodness sake. Of course it is. I've just said it 50 times. All right, Lavazzi. I did. That's no exaggeration. Just you don't listen to what I'm saying. Well, in fact, nobody does, actually, to be fair.
I listen right, to my
sorry, what was that? Sorry, what was that?
Exactly. Scarves. Who sells scarves, Kirby?
Lavarzi.
Pardon?
Lavarzi.
It sounded like you said Percy.
Yeah, Percy's really cool at that.
Yes.
I get mine for Percy. He's brilliant. He's good. He does his own knitting. Some
dodgy bloke around the corner.
Percy Weasley, yes.
Yes, the Fourth Doctor scarves and the 13th Doctor scarves and lots of lovely little Doctor Who bags and memorabilia and what's the other thing? Oh, yeah, cosplay items available from lavazzi.co.uk and I advise you to peruse.
I got the bag they call the laptop bag, but really it's like a weekend bag and then some because it's a proper TARDIS.
Yeah, go for it. They also sell Star Trek merchandise.
And Sherlock Holmes.
And they also sell normal, what would you call this? Franchise, non-franchise items.
Yeah.
And also, if you go to their blog page, they have a special page for submitting fan fiction for Doctor Who. Very good. Now, in relation to iwheroes.co.uk, they're back open again now.
iwheroes.co.uk.
Yeah, they're back open
now. As well,
doesn't
it?
If you come to the Isle of Wight, because obviously the Who One shop is now closed, it's now online only. Heroes isn't, it's open. You can go in and actually physically handle such pretty items that I have in my hand now, like Scarlet Witch. Sorry, I got a vision round the wrong way. Sorry.
So you got your Macintosh there?
What? No, I've got Vision.
Oh, you just
the Vision.
You were
there he is.
Things again and guessed it was your Mac.
The Vision and exactly. The Scarlet Witch, both exceptionally attractive figures, as long as all the other rather. Actually, when they opened, they virtually sold out of all the popular lines of. Do you mind? They sold out.
I'm asking you if you've got floating Scarlet Witch. That's a great looking Funko.
Yes, it's an excellent Funko, but and it is a floating Scarlet Witch. I just haven't had time to take it out of the box yet. Anyway, so, but
it's
yeah,
worth more if you leave it in the box.
I don't never leave it in the box.
Excuse me, you can always put it back in the box. I just keep the boxes.
No, then you can tell that it's been opened.
I don't care. It's mine.
Anyway. But you might want to sell it sometime on eBay.
Never.
If you need any advice on eBay, really, just come to me.
It really isn't going to be worth anything now, because it's only the older Funko Pops are actually worth anything nowadays.
Like that, and it's open.
And it's open, yeah. I haven't opened it yet, by the way. But yeah, so they when they reopened after the COVID closure, as in called lockdown, I think we called it, they had a massive rush of sales, and I went in there and it was almost like they had empty shelves of Funko Pops. I think people were buying them just for the sake of it. So yeah, I was quite lucky to lay my hands on those. So yes, if you live in the United Kingdom and you go to iwheroes.co.uk, peruse their website, because you'll find something you like on there, and they can mail it to you if you're in the UK. They haven't got international shipping because of licensing reasons.
Why can whoone.co.uk do it?
They don't sell Funko
Pops. Whoone.co.uk.
They can. They ship internationally, but there's no licensing issues. Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, in Alan T. Butcher News, I am going to be on the TV next week, BBC Local News South Today, as the West Sussex Labour spokesperson. I only got to record a 20-second soundbite, though, so they were lucky to get more than one polysyllabic word out of me. I think that's how you say it. Robert Genius says, they look cool. Thank you, Robert. And then he says, I did enjoy the end of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Did everybody see the end of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes, it was quite good. And I quite like the way. Am I allowed to say what happened, or is it too much of a spoiler?
Spoiler!
I'll take my headphones off.
All right. I like the way they brought an established Marvel character into a new persona
that happened in the comics a long time ago.
They probably did, but I'm just happy they did it beautifully. It was really, really
specifically
well.
Specifically about the TV series, I bore everyone to death when I'm mentioning the comics. It must be really annoying. But yeah, the TV series has been epic, but I haven't seen this last one yet.
It's very good, very good. It's not as good as WandaVision. WandaVision is iconic, and I have seen the trailer for Loki, and that looks amazing, but you'll have to wait till June for that. But yeah, good stuff. Next week, we will be reviewing, we did say that, didn't we? Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw.
With the return of a Doctor Who actor from the 1960s.
Eve Miles.
No, don't think she was in Doctor Who in the 60s. She does look quite sexy.
You never know. Torchwood was mentioned a long time ago. It's just that no one picked up on the clues.
We were talking about it. It was in A Bad Wolf, wasn't it? Was it even earlier than that? It was earlier than Bad Wolf, wasn't it? It was the Torchwood Institute was mentioned in Bad Wolf, I believe.
I think it was the third episode of John Pertwee. They said Bad Wolf. But I think what it was...
You're confusing me. I didn't mean Bad Wolf. I meant Torchwood.
Different scenes, and someone's edited it together, but they did say it if you take the syllables of some of the words they said.
Going about these balls again.
You know, all you have to do is take the words Doctor Who and scramble them.
Yeah.
You're right, thank you, Kirby.
It's not the same when you say it, Kirby. It doesn't work.
Kirby, I don't think Bad Wolf.
I can't understand you.
Oh, it's a shame.
Oh.
Right. We need to mix the letters up, then it understands.
Because he's British.
Right,
no,
anyway.
I couldn't understand Debbie because she's been talked
it's
over.
Because she's from the Isle of Man.
It's the accent. It's the accent. It's the twang. The Isle of Wight twang.
She's not Isle of Wight. She's Northern. Anyway.
I'm from Yorkshire.
She's picked up an Isle of Wight twang.
Don't you know?
Yeah. I hear it.
Yes, absolutely.
Robert Venge Jr. says he's looking forward to Loki. So am I, Robert. Looking forward also to the end of this podcast so I can get my sexy brand new MacBook Air and give it a cuddle. Oh, And also go and watch...
Yeah. Adam, it's disgusting.
Also go and watch the first episode of a brand new series of Murder on CCTV.
What?
On the Skybox.
What the hell?
Do you like just turn on CCTV and wait?
No, you silly woman. It's a TV series which I referred to last year on this show.
You'd catch something quite quickly.
I think so.
Right. That's
the sight of a CCTV camera would have everybody gathering around going, what's this weird technology? Is it magic?
Well, if everything goes to plan, pretty sure I haven't got anything on next week. It'll be next week if everything goes to plan. So that'll be Tooth and Claw. And it'll be interesting to see who else comes along for the show next week.
You
won't be, though, will you? No.
I think it's a wonderful, brilliant, fun episode. And
what, this podcast?
The werewolf, yeah. Of course. Oh, yes.
Sure. That's what she meant.
It's well realised, and I absolutely really just think the whole adventure and the fact that David Tennant just gets to speak normally is quite nice as well.
Anyway, thank you, Debbie. All right, so that's it for this week. And of course, I have to thank everybody who bothered to contribute to the show this week. That's because it was a bit thin this week, wasn't it, Kirby? It's your fault for not encouraging them to do it more. So hopefully next week we'll get a bit more. And
how's it my fault that I actually posted early?
You did. You posted like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it's still your fault.
No.
See,
that's
too early, man.
I posted Friday night, Saturday morning.
I shared it as well, Kirby. I had nothing on mine.
Okay, all right. It's not Kirby's fault.
I apologise for this, Kirby, but I must just point out, for the first time in many, many years, the words Kirby and thin just appeared in the same sentence. I'm sorry, Kirby, I didn't mean it.
Robert Venture says, buy all, which is very, very good and appropriate, because that's what I'm just about to do. So, anyway, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show, and please continue to do so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Yeah, Crow.
See you next time.
Oh, my life.
The 20 Wegabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production. Production?
Production.
Okay, I'll try again. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and
I thought that might be a stumbling point. It's their fault. I didn't make up their web address.
Okay, I'll try again. I do see that. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
That will do nicely. Thank you.